Okay, good morning to everybody. I do apologize. I feel like life is just going crazy right now. And your lives just might be absolutely perfect. But my life is going pretty crazy right now. And we went to Pennsylvania on Monday to see Faith's mom and dad. And we had previously scheduled that. We could have postponed that, but they had a bunch of stuff for Mikey for college. So we did need to go over there, and it's about 300 miles over to her house. Then we came back on Friday, and yesterday we had an appointment to see a house. We had several leads last week about renting a place, and those things were prohibitively expensive, and nothing worked out, really. Wednesday night, I looked on Craigslist, and I saw a house condominium style for rent in Menor, and it's about a mile and 8/10 from the church. And we got a hold of that place, and we set up a meeting for yesterday at 11:30. And amazingly, it has just about everything but beds, and it's basically mostly furnished. And we signed for it yesterday, and they said they were willing to do just a 6-month lease, and after that, you can do monthly if you'd like, if things go well. And it's over here in Governor's Place between Hopkins, 615, something like that. So it's pretty close. And so we did that a lot yesterday. And there hasn't been a lot of time to study. But we are here. And then this week's going to be crazy again. We're taking Mikey on Thursday down to BJ. We have to have some meetings with GFA. We got to get Mikey settled. And then we have to get back. So that's why we won't be here next Lord's Day. But I pray that you'll be here next Lord's Day. And there's a lot going on, school starting this week for a lot of people. Some people already started school. And so we will just keep going and pray that the Lord will use us wherever we are for His honor and His glory. Okay, last week we started this study on the 50 fruits of pride. And we'll basically review just a little bit. What is pride? What is pride? Something that other people have that you and I don't. We saw that pride is being, basically it's a war with the Creator about being the center of the universe. It's what I want to do, what I say should happen, what I say should go, in contrast to what God, who is the Creator, and everything that He says should happen and everything that He says should be. So it's a war with God for supremacy. And we saw 5 things to know about pride and humility. Number 1, pride is the root of all evil. And we discussed that just a little bit. Are there any sins that don't trace their roots back to pride? And we couldn't think of any, at least last week. Number 2, God hates pride. He hates pride. He hated pride in Lucifer. He hates pride in me. And He hates pride in you. He hates pride in all of us. He hates pride everywhere. Number 3, God loves humility. Let me just go back to number 2. There's a question that comes up. There's a famous actor. His name is Brad Pitt. And he said that he could not believe in God. He said he grew up going to church, but he could not believe in God because ultimately, according to him, God is proud. He said, God says that He is the center of the universe, and so I really can't believe in Him. What kind of a God is that who wants all the glory for Himself? How would you answer somebody who came up with an idea like that? Because that idea exists, and it exists a lot. We might even think something about that. What is the problem with God? Is that a problem that God is... He wants all the glory for Himself. I am God, there is none else, and my glory I will not give to another. What's the problem with that? Okay, Jesus is God, and He was the most humble person that ever lived. But God still says... you were made to glorify from Him and to Him, and of Him are all things. To Him be glory and honor forever and ever. And we see over and over just glory should be given. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. We see that was announced when Jesus was born. What would you say to someone who said, I can't believe in a God who wants all the glory for himself? Chad? Okay, we have to confess that because it's part of seeing what our sin is. It's recognizing who we are. Were you going to say one more thing? Okay, we're sinners in the eyes of a perfect and holy God. He's the creator, so he can say whatever. Mom? It's like the clay saying to the potter, what are you doing with me? Why did you make me like this? And no pot would ever say to the potter, why did you make me like this? That's absurd. But there's something even farther. God, one of his attributes is that he is glorious. Any glory, we are glorious in a much less extent. We are glorious in the sense that we are made in God's image. And we are all image bearers of God. But we are not, any glory that we have is derived glory. It comes from God. God is glorious in and of himself. So it would be wrong. It would be wrong not to honor and to worship the one who is all glorious. And so when someone says, I couldn't worship somebody like that, well, we're making him into who we think he ought to be. And God is not who we think he ought to be. God is who he is, and he is glorious. So God hates pride because he is the only one in and of himself who is worthy of all glory. We are not. And when we fight for that glory, that shows our pride. Number three, God loves humility. Number four, what pride is not. We saw several things there. And number five, pride is deceitful. And then we saw the first fruit last week. We want to be well known or important. That's the first fruit that we looked at of pride. And this is basically a self-test. Where are we showing humility and where are we showing pride? So we'll go to number two. Another fruit of pride is that I'm sinfully competitive. I am overly competitive. I always want to win and come out on top, and it bothers me when I don't. We see this when people cry. Not after a death in the family. Not after they found out that they have cancer. Not after they lost their job, but after they lost a sporting event. And you see it. You see grown men crying. What are they crying about? Winning was everything to them. Little kids do this. I'm lost. I'm not playing anymore. Or they get mad and angry when they lose. Or they cry when they actually lose a game. Well, that just shows that human nature is the same everywhere, isn't it? Little kids do it on the playground. Big kids do it in the queue. Is it still called the queue? Right. Downtown, the arena, right? Big people. We all have the same kind of hearts, sinfully competitive. People get angry if they lose. And someone knocks, you watch an athletic event, and somebody knocks somebody down. And instead of just getting up, there's a fight. Because you don't do that to me and not regret it. Because you don't know who I am. You might get away with doing that to other people, but not me, because you don't know who I am. Well, am I overly competitive? If I play something, I don't play to lose. I really don't. I mean, frankly, anymore, though, I want to win, but I just want to come out of the contest not hurting or not pulling a muscle or something like that. I remember when I was a senior at Mentor Christian and Tom Spence, and we had a Saturday night get-together in the gym for our class, and we played indoor soccer. And we played for hours. And the next morning, I felt great, and I came in, and Tom was, oh, I hurt so bad. And I remember thinking, I will never be like that. Well, I am, and I'm probably way worse than that. But it gets worse. Covetousness is caused by pride, and I should have that, and you shouldn't. And we talked about that last week with your house. house improvements. Sears have the best house on the block. The pride of life. When you come to church, let me ask you this. What determines what you wear? What determines what you wear when you pick your clothes out in the morning to come to church? Well, all the rest of it was in the dirty clothes. This is what I had. All right, that's okay. Do you wear what you wear to be noticed by other people? Or do you wear what you wear because you want to be clothed modestly, but you also want to focus not on you, you want other people to focus not on you, but on your God? Why are people immodest? And this isn't just a woman problem, this is a man problem too. Why are people immodest? Well, ultimately because of pride. They want everybody to look at them. On your page here, what is the attitude behind the pride of life? What is the attitude behind the pride of life? Anybody want to guess? Hey, everybody, look at me. Look at me. And we see that in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. Do not love the world or the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride in possessions. And that's where the King James phrase, the pride of life. Pride in possessions is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. Where do you see people in everyday life who live this attitude of, hey, everybody, look at me? Where do you see that in your everyday life? Give me an example. And don't say everywhere. Can you give me an example of that? Facebook. Okay? Now, Facebook is not sinful in and of itself. You can use that to glorify God. But also it can be used to, hey, everybody, look at my face. Look at me. That can be. What else? It can be in sports. It can be a class, in a classroom situation. You can answer a question so that all can see how much I know. Now, in 10th grade here at Mentor Christian School, in Mrs. Wack's room, if I remember correctly, she had a poster by a very great philosopher. You may have heard of him, you may not have, but his name was Charlie Brown. And I remember that poster. I've thought of that many times. Charlie Brown said, "The more I learn, the more I learn how much I have to learn." And if you didn't get it, just write it down and ponder that, the philosophy of Charlie Brown. But that's true. The more you understand about life, the more you learn, I don't know anything. I have a whole lot more to keep on learning. And this happens every day on sports field. It happens in gymnasiums. It happens in arenas. Hey, everybody, look at me. Now, the next space. The Christian theme should be what? What should the Christian theme be? All right, the world says, hey, everybody, look at me. The Christian theme should be, hey, everybody, look at Jesus. Look at Christ. All right, I just scored a goal, a basket, and instead of flexing all my muscles for the whole world to see, which you don't want to see that, but why don't I just walk back or jog back and get right on defense and thank my Creator that my muscles and bones and brain and nerves just all work together so that this little round piece of iron 10 feet off the ground, and I was standing maybe 15 feet away, and I could shoot a round piece of rubber with my hands, and that could go into that hole. That's amazing when we think about that. If someone says to you afterward, hey, you played a great game, how could you respond with the idea of, look at Jesus? Praise the Lord. That's a quick thing. Nobody wanted to stand there and listen for a while you explained that. But somebody could say, hey, great concert. Great job. And we could respond something, or we could at least think something along the idea of, my Creator gave me life. And He gave me this body. And He gave me talent. And He gave it to me not so that I would look big, but so that He would look big. What a great Creator. Or, you know, I used to take all the credit in times like this. Right now. But I don't have anything that I have not been given. So if I have been given something, it's a gift, and it's not mine. So I just want to thank Jesus today for that. Do you know who Jesus is? Well, let me tell you about Him. And I'd just like to ask a question here. Why don't we talk like that? Why don't I talk like that? Why don't we talk like that to people? What do you think? Embarrassing? If it's embarrassing, we're saying, hey, I don't want people to look at me. Which is meaning, I want you to look at me in a good light. And that's pride. Rachel? They don't want to discuss it.
It's a quick thing. Right.
Okay. Right. And a lot of times we don't have time to do that. But sometimes I think if we thought about it, we really would have some time to say something to someone. And we often do not take an opportunity like that. Why else? Well, somebody else had their hand up. Thomas? Okay, and I do agree, Rachel, with everything you said there. There are times where we just do not have an opportunity to say something. But think of this, all right? If we really should talk like that at times, and we don't want to be over the top. We don't want to be considered a fanatic. I can think of someone in the last couple of years who really did try to do that. Can you think of somebody? A professional football player. Tim Tebow. I believe a real fellow brother in Christ who really was outspoken for Christ. And I do believe that he took almost every opportunity that he possibly could to speak about Christ. What was the world's attitude toward Tim Tebow? They mocked him. They mocked him all the time. Made fun of him. Now, maybe I wouldn't bow my knee on the ground like I was praying after a good play. But he often talked about what Jesus meant to him. He was very competitive, but I don't think he was sinfully competitive. More than winning, he was concerned about proclaiming who Jesus Christ is. And we should try to play our best. It's not wrong to try to win a game or to want to win. Paul said, they which run in a race run against all, but only one receives the prize. And so I run that I might obtain, or so I run that I might win. So he ran. But if winning is the most important thing in anything in your life, it's a fruit of pride, because it's all about me, and it's not about Christ. I'll crush anybody else who gets in the way of what I want. Vince Lombardi said, winning isn't everything, it's the only thing. Well, if you live for football, that would be your goal. That should be your goal. If you live for Christ, that shouldn't be our goal. All right, anybody have a comment to make on that point? Sinfully competitive. Feel free. Okay, Dan. Okay.
Yeah, I really think I did do a good job there, and thank God, because he gave me the ability. And then there also comes with that, if we're genuine in giving God credit, it'll just take some getting used to talk that way.
Right.
So at first we might feel like we're being super spiritual or hypocritical, but if that's our heart, I think we do need to just practice it so that it becomes, it feels as genuine as
That is true. It feels super spiritual, and one reason it feels like that is because we've really never done it. But if we are here to glorify God and to make Him look big, think about somebody says something to you, even an unbeliever, and you say, oh, well, praise the Lord, and you go on your way. What in the world did that mean? I've thought about, after I've left the conversation, well, I said that. Well, what did they think about that? What kind of sense does that make to an unbeliever? Praise the Lord. Now, at the same time, Dan, we say that if somebody says, hey, you did a good job, and you say, well, it really wasn't that good, that could be the guy who is, no, really, but come on, bring some more. No, thank you. I really need to be humble, but bring some more praise. I'm saying it wasn't so good so that you keep praising me, and I really want to hear that. And again, that we can give a humble response, apparently humble response, but really seeking to be lifted up and praised even more. And so we have to weigh all of these things, and there's a fine line in the middle where we can be proud on either side and apparently proud or apparently humble, but it can also be pride. All right, Faith?
I think, too, what you were saying about who's making the comment, you know, I found that the more opportunities I took with unsaved people, that it just gave us tons more opportunities to, oh, really, I've never heard that. People are really interested why you would say that. And then you have conversations, relationships, they come to church. So it's like who you're talking to.
Okay, well, when people say things, use that as an opportunity to begin a conversation about Christ or about the gospel. There are conversations available. We just need to take them many, many times. Eileen.
The other thing they do is what comes out of our mouth better be backed up what we do. And lots of times
what comes out of our mouth better be backed up by what we do. And you know, there are a lot of people who call themselves Christians who really try to be, they try to speak about Christ, and we wish they wouldn't. And they really shouldn't, because there's a man in our church in Mexico, and you just wish that he would shut up, because his life is totally opposite, and it's totally against, he is one of the proudest men I've ever met, and everything he does negates everything that he says. And so our lives do need to be backing up what we say. Well, we can't just say, okay, my life is going to back this up. God, you have got to change my heart and work in my heart and make me humble like this. And don't make me humble so people will see I'm humble. Make me humble so that I reflect Christ in my life. All right, number three, a third fruit of pride. I want to impress people. I want to impress people. Look in Luke chapter 10. Luke 10. Bible Community Church is full of people, I believe, who serve, and people who enjoy serving. And that is a great, great thing. We all are servants of Christ if we are in Christ. But even service tends to, if we're not careful, pride can get in there and we can say, hey, look at my service. In Luke chapter 10, look at verse 38. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house, welcomed Jesus. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion which will not be taken away from her. Martha said, I want to do something for Jesus. If Jesus and my sister Mary, they're sitting there talking though, and they don't recognize what I'm doing for them. And I want to at least give them a hint or a clue about all that I'm doing here behind the scenes, so that they at least have to recognize my work. And the question for us is, do we want other people to know what we're doing? Or what we're doing for other people? Do you know what I've been doing? That's what we say. Do you know what I've been doing? How do we try to impress other people? Now we have a list here on this point. Letter A, clothes or jewelry you wear. All right, we mentioned the clothes. You have to wear clothes, okay? You have to come to church in clothes. I don't think that's written in our Constitution, but you have to. All right? But why do you wear what you wear? For you, for your glory, or for God's glory? To reflect well on Him or to draw attention to yourself? To look orderly because God is a God of order? All right? Letter B, the vehicle you drive. You've got to drive a vehicle. Why do you drive the vehicle that you do? Now, it can be a nice car. That's no problem. Just here we get into the motive. Why am I driving what I'm driving? So other people will look at me? Or do I have this car so that I can glorify God with it? To get me to work, to the job that He's provided, or to do this or that. You know, in Mexico, we face this constantly. Probably 60 or 70% or more of the people in our church don't have a car. And I'll get back to the clothes part first. Somebody said, you're the first person who ever wore a suit who spoke to us. Okay, well, just cut the suit out. We'll just get rid of that, okay? In Mexico, I haven't worn a suit for like 4 years, so I'm really struggling here, folks. I'm trying, okay? We have a van. So when we have this van, it's a 15-passenger van in the United States. It's about a 34-passenger van in Mexico. We have 12, 14 people that we pack in there on Sundays to take to church. People that live near where we live, and we take them to church. We're packed. Now, that van exists not for our glory, but for God's glory. And, you know, when you get a new car, it wasn't new at the time, but forget this van, okay? We had a van before that was a year older, and it was way better. And it was a year 2000. And, you know, you get a van like that, and people leave gum on the floor, and people just track mud in without knocking their feet off. And you think, can't people be thoughtful? And then you just say, you know, people aren't thinking about that. They're coming to church after an extremely busy week of fighting traffic 4 hours a day, and they came to church. I'm thankful. So this is for God's glory. It's not about me. It's not about us. Now, the furniture you own, the house that you live in, the place where you live. Now, it's not a problem to own these things. It's not a problem where you live. But the important thing is, why do I want to have the things I have? Do I want to impress people so that they'll think well of me? Or is it for a reason so that I may serve and honor Christ better? The company that you work for, the amount of money you earn, nothing wrong with earning money. We all needed money just to get here this morning again. But there are people, their calling card is the amount of money that they earn. And they'll say something, well, like, wow, he earns six figures, which could be anywhere from 100,000 to 999,000. But now if they say seven figures, now you know there's even more. But things like that, the food you eat, only fine dining. And then on letter I, want to park here on letter I for a little bit. We want to impress others, and letter I, with how spiritual you are. How spiritual you are. Some people, on your page there, some people do what they do so that they look spiritual. A couple weeks ago in the Sunday school lesson on Kings and Chronicles, we saw King Uzziah. And when he was strong, he grew proud to his destruction, it says. And he was unfaithful to the Lord his God, and he entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense, and that was only the job for the priests. And he wanted to look more spiritual than he was, and so he took the job of the priest and went in and offered on the altar. Who else comes to mind when you think of people who want to look spiritual? I heard a mumbling. Pharisees. Okay? They did what they did to be seen of men, and Jesus said, their reward is that they're seen of men. That's it. That's the only reward they have. I think this is one that we probably struggle with greatly. Many, if not most churches struggle with this. Many, if not most people who call themselves Christians struggle with this one. How do we try to look spiritual at times? All right, now you're going to have to be a little painful. Alex? How long we prayed or the words we used when we prayed. And we finish our prayer, we haven't talked to God, and we say, well, that was a good prayer. I think the guy or the lady sitting next to me would probably like that one. We're not praying for the right reasons if that's what we're saying. What? Or the guy next to me needed that prayer. All right, how else do we try to look spiritual? Come on. Chris? Okay, who read the most verses, who witnessed the most times, and that is a gauge of spirituality. Okay, Eileen? Comparing ourselves to others. In what ways? Give me something. Why? Well, what would we use as a spiritual test? What could someone else use? Not you, but somebody else. How many verses we know that come to our mind? Okay, somebody may not wear the dress that we wear, and if they came in, it might be intimidating, okay? I hope that we wouldn't judge somebody because of that. Who, somebody back there had their hand up? Scott? No? Chris? Okay. Okay. There could be someone who doesn't have a tattoo and someone who does have a tattoo, and the person who doesn't is not spiritual at all, and the person who does is very spiritual. And I may not get a tattoo. I'm not for that for myself. You may not do it, but I know a former, I don't know personally, but I read the story of a former rock star, and his body was covered with tattoos, and he said, I don't want these old tattoos, and he made new tattoos to cover them that had just verses, and he wanted to be a testimony for Christ. Now, you may want to do that. You may not want to do that. You may agree with that. You may not, but this man was out there. He said, I want my body not to reflect me anymore. I want it to reflect Christ. Okay, Beth. Okay, comparing sins, and we say, this is a little sin that I did, that's a huge sin that you did. And that little sin that we consider a little sin is an infinite sin, not because of compared to somebody else. That is an infinite sin because it's committed against an infinite God and required an infinite payment. All right, Tom, sorry. Okay, it is 10:15 right now. In about a half an hour, we have a test. You didn't know that. We have a spiritual test. Some other people are going to come through the doors and sit in here. And we could say, well, at least I'm more spiritual than them because I came to Sunday school as well as this service. That is a spiritual test that people do to say, I'm more spiritual than that person. Okay, Heather?
Education.
Okay. Right. I don't think everybody's got to send their kids to Bob Jones. My son's going next week for the first time. He may continue, he may not. I am open to what God wants my son to do. And if he follows God, amen. I don't care what anybody else says. Because I answer to the Lord Jesus Christ and you answer to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, those aren't the only things that we consider when we consider things. I understand that. But we have to understand there are things that we do that we often make lists as or lists of, and we consider myself, or you consider yourself, a spiritual person because you do this, and somebody else doesn't do this, so I'm more spiritual than such and such a person, so and so. Charity?
I think you can make yourself look more spiritual when you say, well, I'll pray for you. You know, your friend just passed away. Well, I'll pray for you and your family tonight. And then you don't actually pray for
them. Well, we just need to pray for him then, right? If we say, I will pray for you, we all have gone our ways and forgotten to pray when we said that. So the best thing is to just right there, as soon as we leave, make that an issue of prayer, okay? I don't think that person necessarily is trying to make themselves more spiritual, unless they're saying it with no intention to pray, but they're saying, I will pray for you. Okay, good. Cherish. Okay, there we go. And while I'm on it, there's the Hogopians right there, right? Okay, right next to Chris and Cherish, all right? We'll just, if you were here the first night, you'll understand that little. Okay. Anybody else? If we have tests of spirituality that we make up, I don't do this, that, or the other, and that person does, so I'm more spiritual. And I want other people to know what my list is so that they can see how spiritual I am. And then we get into all kinds of conflicts in the Lord's body and church because we start comparing lists. And we tend to gravitate to people that have the same list that we do. Oh, you like that? Oh, you like that? Oh, you think we ought to do this? Good, I'm right with you. And over there is another group who doesn't think that, and there's another group here who thinks something else. And there's no unity in Christ's body when it's like that. We are just unified around our own lists and our own definitions of spirituality instead of being unified around the Lord Jesus Christ. We may not make up a list and type it out and publish it, but we have a list in our own minds. We all do. And we want people to be impressed with us because perhaps you always have your hair cut a certain way. Or because you wear a tie or a suit, or because you don't wear pants, or because you always wear a skirt, or because you educate your kids in Christian school and others don't, or because you educate at home and others don't, or because you educate in a public school and others don't, or because you don't smoke or drink, or as I, these are, all right, you already mentioned most of these, okay, I'm just reading what I have written down so I don't miss anything, or because you go to Sunday school and church. And then there's somebody super spiritual who comes on Wednesday night too. Not just sometimes spiritual and Sunday night. Those people are basically free pass to heaven. No, that's not true. That is not true, okay? Now, it would be great if you came to all the services. A spiritual church will feed spiritual people in all of its services. But attending church when others don't doesn't mean you are more spiritual or that you think that you're more spiritual than other people. Now, that is not to say, please don't come to all the services, all right? I am laboring, studying. I thought when I started I would just preach a bunch of stuff I had in Mexico. So far, Sunday school is the only thing that I've done in Mexico before. And I just keep saying, all right, I'm going to do this, and the Lord brings something else to mind. And we need this, so I'm preparing new material. And I'm doing that for us as a body because I'm part of your body. And we need this. But next space, if we try to show how spiritual we are because of anything that we do, we are not spiritual, but proud. If we try to show how spiritual we are because of anything that we do, we are not spiritual people, but proud. Why? The answer? Because what we do does not make us spiritual. What we do does not make us spiritual. What someone has done has never, ever in the history since Adam and Eve made them spiritual. Does that mean that what someone does is not important? No, absolutely not. Okay, I think that's the next space. Does that mean that what someone does is not important? And it's a real small space, but you should write in big letters, big caps. No! All right, so you can remember to yell that out when you come across that reviewing it. Does that mean that what someone does is not important? No, absolutely not. And we'll keep on writing. What we do is very, very important. But why we do what we do is most important. Why we do what we do is most important. Why do you pray? Well, because they said I was supposed to. Don't pray then. That doesn't matter. You're probably not talking to God if you do it because someone said I should do it. What we do is very important. But why we do what we do is most important. Why do we do what we do? I came up with four things that I could think of as to why we do what we do. Somebody who doesn't go to any church, who has no desire for God, why do they do what they do? Put yourself in their position today. Why would they do what they do? For self? Okay. That's the first thing I have. First of all, we do what we do to please ourselves. To please ourselves. For self, if it feels good, do it. If it feels good, I'm going to do this. If it doesn't feel good, I'm not going to do it. I read an article this week. Going to college doesn't change you. Going to college reveals what is already in your heart. Somebody says, oh, my son went to college and he came back totally changed. Well, that doesn't show that college changed him. It showed that what was in his heart was just going after what was already there. So we do what we do to please ourselves. Secondly, why else? All right, let's say you don't know the gospel, but you're a church person. Why would you do what you do there, perhaps? Why do unsaved people use religion? To get right with God. Somebody. Scott? For some hope that they might have eternal life. Okay, number two. Why do we do what we do? To make God happy with us. That's why most people who are religious people do what they do. And that's why, even in a church, and even in a Bible church, people can do what they do so that God will be happy with me today. I read my Bible this morning, God's happy with me. No, that doesn't make God happy with you. If you are in Christ, that pleases Him when His children want to read their Bibles, but we don't do it to make God happy with us. Number three, why else do we do what we do? Number three, to make other people happy with us. We do what we do oftentimes to make other people happy with us. Well, I don't really want to do this, but if I don't, so-and-so will be mad at me. All right, I'll do it so he's happy with me, or so she's happy with me. And number four, and this is the only right one. You can take out the C, the second C for because. All right. Number four, why do we do what we do? Because God is pleased with us. Because He is pleased with His Son. And because we are united to His Son. And that is an evangelical, a gospel-centered motive for why we do what we should do. And let me say, if you are a born-again Christian this morning, that should be the only reason that you do what you do. Because God is already, you could add that word, okay? It says God is pleased because God is already pleased with you. You don't do it so that you can earn His favor. You don't read your Bible in the morning so that you can earn His favor. Because why? Because if you're in Christ, you already have His favor, and you want to read your Bible because you want to know better that Christ who gives you your acceptance with God. If you're outside of Jesus Christ, you have no acceptance with God, so it doesn't matter what you do, there is no acceptance with Him. That is a works salvation. And that works salvation has crept into Christian churches even, because I am somebody, I am spiritual if I, what's the word? Do something. You are not spiritual if you do something. The Pharisees did a lot of things that we do. And they were not spiritual because they had no union with the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can do a lot of things that look good according to culture. They're conservative. They're this, they're that, they're the other. They look good according to people. If you're not united to Jesus Christ, you are not a spiritual person, no matter what you do. Now, if we do anything in order to be right with God, anything, that is pride. If we do it to look good before others, that's pride. If we do anything to compare ourselves to others, that's pride too. Now, whatever we do, if we do it because the Holy Spirit has truly changed us, and because our only desire is to honor our Savior, then we have the right motive. No matter what anybody else thinks. Now, only you know your motives. Right? Only you know your own motives. And so that's where we get kind of scared and say, well, we have to make a rule for this, because if you don't do that, you're not spiritual. You know what? Jesus fulfilled the law of Christ. He fulfilled the law of the Old Testament. And he gave us things that we have to do, and he said things that we cannot do. But we have to be careful not to go beyond that and make our own laws for people, because if they have the Holy Spirit, and if they're being led by the Holy Spirit, and you say, well, yeah, but what if they aren't led by the Holy Spirit? How do you know? Do you see fruit in the life of that person that the Holy Spirit is working? Do they have the fruit of the Spirit? Are they really showing love and joy and peace and patience and goodness and kindness? If they are, they have the Holy Spirit. And you can trust that God, the Holy Spirit, knows better than you and I how to help that person. Now, that doesn't mean we don't try to help people. We look at our friends and our brothers and sisters in Christ. We look at their lives and say, you know, I've prayed about this. And it could be me that's just seeing this not right. Perhaps it's me. But this is what I see. And I don't know if you're drifting or doing this or that, but I'm concerned. And if that person who is being confronted is a spiritually led person, they would say, you know, thank you for saying that. Because yes, I have been drifting here. Or, you know, thanks for saying that, but you know, the Lord has showed me this, and I'm, clear it up right there. And that shows humility on the part of both parties. Not just on the person who goes or the person who receives, but the person who goes and the person who receives, both people have to be humble to receive what God has for them. Now, do we finish the... No, let's see. Because the Holy Spirit has changed them from being... All right, the question, why is someone spiritual? We'll end with this. Why is someone spiritual? Answer, because the Holy Spirit has changed them from being natural people to new creature people. No one in this world is spiritual because of what they do. Spiritual people are spiritual because of what Jesus did in their place. Spiritual people are spiritual because of what Jesus did in their place. So let me ask you this morning, are you a spiritual person? Are you united to the Lord Jesus Christ? If that is the case, then you look at your life and you say, God, what do you want me to do? I answer to you. And I need you to lead me and to guide me. He does that through his word. And actually, we're going to look at that some more, that idea in the message this morning. And we'll do that for the Lord's glory. So let's close in prayer. Father, we all fall into the trap so often of gauging our own spirituality and other people's spirituality based on what we do. And Father, nothing that we do can make us spiritual. There is only one who can make us spiritual, and that is Jesus Christ. And your Holy Spirit applying to our hearts the benefits and the blessings of all that he is and all that he has done. And so this morning, as we end our Sunday school hour, Father, work in our hearts that we would go into the worship hour with hearts filled to overflowing, because if we are not natural people now, but new creature people, saved by you, all of you, only because of you and only because of Christ, we owe a debt that we can never pay. And so may we lift our hearts and our voices in worship to you today. Warm our hearts, Father, with thoughts about the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done and what he is. Bless us as we go and we worship you. And Father, may you convict us where we are proud. And may we confess that. May we turn from it, and may we look to you for the strength and the power to replace that pride with humility and reflect our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray this today in Jesus' name. Amen.